Thank you, Davey. Thank you, Adam. And could we commence by reading from Hebrews chapter 9? Hebrews chapter 9, and reading from verse 2. For there was a tabernacle made the first, wherein was the candlestick, and the table, and shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And we're wanting to consider this morning these contents of the Ark of the Covenant, these contents of the Ark of the Covenant. Men have for a long time speculated about the whereabouts of the Ark of the Covenant, and as to what treasure that it would contain. And Steven Spielberg produced a very popular and successful film, The Raiders of the Lost Ark, starring Harrison Ford. In the film, the Nazis, prior to the Second World War, were seeking to find the Lost Ark of the Covenant, as they believed that the power which the Ark contained would greatly enhance their war effort. And men have all different views about the Ark and what it contains. So men have for a long time sought to find the Ark of the Covenant and have dreamed of the treasure which it would contain. Now this morning we can see where the Ark, now this morning we cannot say where the Ark of the Covenant is, for the scripture does not disclose where it is. Where the ark is to this day is a mystery as to its location. But the scripture does leave us in no doubt as to what the Ark of the Covenant contains. And as we have read in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 4, of the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. In Exodus chapter 16 and verse 9, and Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he have heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at evening ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at evening the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord have given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord have commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less, and when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over. and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much a bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye shall bake today, sieve that ye will sieve, and that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worms therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days shall ye gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath in it, there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my law? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called the name of the thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commandeth, fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed ye in the wilderness when I brought ye forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations, as the Lord commanded Moses. So Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years, until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came into the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is the tenth part of an ephah. And so we see that the manna was kept to remember them, that the Lord fed them in the wilderness, and it was laid up in the ark. Here we see the children of Israel in the wilderness, at the beginning of their journey after leaving Egypt, by passing through the Red Sea on dry ground, and already they are complaining of having nothing to eat. And the Lord, in response, sends them manna to eat, which was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. The children of Israel named it manna, which means, what is it? Because they had seeing nothing like it, so they says, what is it? It is manna. The Lord sets rules regarding the gathering of the manna, which came with the dew every morning. They were to gather an omer for every man, and they could gather as much as they could eat, according to their appetite, so that everyone had as much as they wanted to eat. They were to gather it fresh every morning, as the next day the leftovers would stink. And on the sixth day they were to gather twice as much, because on the seventh day, which was the Sabbath, there would be none to gather. And the extra manna would not stink on the Sabbath day, but would suffice for the Sabbath day. John chapter 6 and verse 31. In John chapter 6 and verse 31, John says, our fathers did eat manna or the children of Israel, they're saying, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. In these verses, we see the people, they're people that have come, they were part of the feeding of the 5,000, whom the Lord had fed with the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fishes. And they've come looking to Jesus to be fed again. And they're asking the Lord to feed them with the manna from heaven. And the Lord tells them that he is the true manna from heaven, the bread of life. And in John chapter 1 and verse 1, we read, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I speak. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten, the Son of the Father, he hath declared him. And verse 29, the next day John saith Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifested to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. In John chapter 6, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the manna, the true bread from heaven. And in John chapter 1, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And as we read in Exodus 9 and 31, that the manna was like coriander seed, white, and taste of it was like wafers made with honey, we can see that the manna tasted as sweet as honey. And the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 103 states, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And in Psalm 34 and 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And we as believers today need to be feeding on the manna from heaven, the true bread, the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be feeding daily as much as we can eat. What we gather today is not sufficient for tomorrow. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, advises us, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And Paul states in 1 Corinthians 3 and 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. In these verses we see that as new believers, as babes in Christ, we are to desire the sincere milk of the word, but that we are to grow and progress unto the meat of the word. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 states, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here we see that we grow in faith through the word of God. If we want to increase in faith, then we need to be in the word. And Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. If we as believers do not study the word of God, then Paul says that we will be ashamed. And when will we be ashamed? Well, Paul states in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he have done, whether it be good or bad. If we do not grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, by studying his word, then at the judgment seat of Christ, we will be ashamed and suffer loss. But if we go in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, at the judgment seat of Christ, we shall receive a reward. Works of wood, hay, and stubble burn up. Works of gold and precious stones survive. The Ark of the Covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. Let us now consider Aaron's rod that budded, which we can read about in Numbers chapter 17 and verse 1. Numbers chapter 17, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod, according to the house thereof their fathers, of all their princes, according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod, and thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi. For one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them up on the tabernacle. Thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom. And I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece, for each prince one according to their father's houses, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses led them up. Moses led up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. And Moses did so as the Lord commanded him, so did he. The Lord commanded Moses to do this because Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and On, along with 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown, had gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and because of their rebellion, the Lord caused the earth to open her mouth and swallow them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And the next day all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get ye up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, and put fire therein from the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly into the congregation, and make an atonement, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was dead. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, besides them that died about the matter of Korah. And you can read of this in Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 to 50. And Aaron's rod that budded was for a sign unto the children of Israel that Moses and Aaron were chosen by God to lead the children of Israel and to put an end to all such rebellion. Schofield, in his notes, states that Aaron's rod that budded is a type of Christ in resurrection, acknowledged by God as high priest. Aaron's priesthood had been questioned in the rebellion of Korah, so God himself would confirm it. The head of each tribe brought a dead rod. God put life into Aaron's only. But we want to see this morning where Aaron got his rod, and we find this in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, have appeared unto thee. And Exodus 4 and verse 27. And the Lord said unto Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoke unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, Then they bowed their heads and worshipped. Exodus chapter 7 and verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh, and it became a serpent. Here we see in these verses that Aaron's rod that budded was Moses' rod, which became a serpent. And we read in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 2, where the Lord asked Moses, What is that in thine hand? And Moses answers, A rod. Schofield states that the sign of the rod means power. And he quotes Psalm 2 and verse 9, which reads, Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dice them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And Psalm 110 verse 2, The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. And Revelation 2 and verse 27, which reads, And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my fathers. This rod of power was Moses' shepherd's crook, the tool of his calling. Cast down, it became a serpent. Taken up in faith, it became the rod of God. Chapter 4 and verse 20. And Moses took his wife and his son and set them upon an ass. He returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Here we see that Aaron's rod that budded, which was Moses' shepherd crook, became the rod of God. Moses' shepherd's crook was a sign of Moses' livelihood, which defined Moses as a shepherd. But when Moses cast it down at the Lord's command, and it became a serpent, and when Moses took the serpent up by the tail, and it became a rod again, Moses was no longer a shepherd of sheep, but he became a deliverer and a saviour of the children of Israel, to deliver them from under the yoke of the Egyptians, empowered by God, by the power and the rod to finish the task. And if we, as believers today, were able to cast our livelihood down before the Lord, then we should take it up again. We should be empowered to accomplish the life which the Lord has for us. John Wesley, who cast his livelihood before the Lord as an Anglican minister, when he took it up again, became the founder of Methodism. And as a result of his organisational genius, we know exactly how many were in his organisation when he died. 294 preachers, 71,668 British members, 19 missionaries, and 43,265 American members, with 198 preachers. Today, Methodists number about 30 million worldwide, not to mention all those who the Lord saved through John Wesley's ministry and all their ministries. Then let's consider the ministry of George Mueller by reading a few excerpts from his biography. For a few weeks after his conversion, Mueller made rapid advancement in the Christian life, and he was greatly desirous of becoming a missionary. But he fell in love with a Roman Catholic girl, and for some time the Lord was well nigh forgotten. Then Mueller saw a young missionary giving up all luxuries of a beautiful home for Christ. This opened his eyes to his own selfishness and enabled him to give up the girl who had taken the place of Christ in his heart. It was at this time, says he, that I began to enjoy the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Wheeler says, I became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ in the beginning of November 1825, but in July 1829, I gave myself fully to the Lord. Honours, pleasures, money, my physical powers and my mental powers all were laid down at the feet of Jesus, and I became a great lover of the Word of God. I found my all in God, and thus all my trials of a temporal and spiritual character, it has remained for 60 years. My faith is not merely exercised regarding temporal things, but regarding everything, because I cleave to the Word. My knowledge of God and His Word is that which helps me. Then when Müller took his life up again, this is what the Lord accomplished through Müller. In 1834, Müller started the Scripture Knowledge Institute for home and abroad. His object was to aid Christian day schools, to assist missionaries, and to circulate the Scriptures. This institution, without worldly patronage, without asking anyone for help, without contracting debts, without committees, subscribers, or memberships, but through faith in the Lord and the Lord alone, had obtained and dispersed no less a sum than £1,500,000 at the time of Müller's death. The bulk of this was expended for the orphanage. At the time of Mr. Müller's death, 122,000 persons had been taught in the schools supported by these funds, and about 282,000 Bibles and 1,500,000 Testaments had been distributed by means of the same fund. Also, 112,000 religious books, pamphlets, and tracts had been circulated. Missionaries had been aided in all parts of the world, and no less than 10,000 orphans had been cared for by means of the same fund. At the age of 70, Mr. Müller began to make great evangelistic tours. He travelled 200,000 miles, going around the world and preaching in many countries, and in several different languages. He frequently spoke to as many as 4,500 or 5,000 persons. Three times he preached throughout the length and breadth of the United States. He continued his missionary or evangelistic tours until he was 90 years of age. He estimated that during these 17 years of evangelistic work, he addressed 3 million people. All his expenses were sent in answer to the prayer of faith. Greatest of all Müller's undertakings was the erection and maintenance of the great orphanage at Bristol. He began the great undertaking with only 2 shillings, which is 10p in today's money, 2 shillings in his pocket. But in answer to prayer, and without making his needs known to human beings, he received the means necessary to erect the great buildings and to feed the orphans day by day for 60 years. And all that time, the children did not have to go without a meal. Sometimes the meal time was almost at hand, and they did not know where the food would come from. But the Lord always sent it in due time. During the 20,000 or more days that Mr. Müller had charge of the homes, Wesley and Müller's lives surrendered to the Lord. Only eternity will reveal the full extent of their work for the Lord. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 2. And the Lord said unto Moses, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. As the Lord asked Moses, what is that in thine hand? Cast it on the ground. So the Lord asks us as believers today, what is that in thine hand? Cast it on the ground. And if we obey the Lord will give it back to us, empowered to accomplish great things for the Lord. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 4, the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, the tables of stone. The tables of stone we can read about in Exodus chapter 24 and verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and the law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And verse 16, and the glory of the Lord abode upon the mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and nights. And Exodus chapter 32, verse 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other they were written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. Verse 19, and it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' angers waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. Exodus chapter 34, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up into the mount Sinai, as the Lord commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. Verse 28, and he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, and did neither eat bread nor drink water. And the Lord wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Here we see the tables of stone have the Ten Commandments written by the very hand of the Lord himself. All man-made religions contain the dreams and the thoughts of men, but the Holy Bible contains the Word of God. As 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 states, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The Bible is the believer's manual for enable them to live a fruitful Christian life for the Lord. And Peter states in 1 Peter 1 and 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. The prophet and the psalmist David states in Psalm 27 verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And the prophet Isaiah states in verse 45, verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. In the Bible, we meet the Lord, the God who saves, the only God, for there is none else. And the Lord offers salvation, the gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ the Lord, unto all them who ask him. In the Bible, the word from God. In the Bible, the word of God from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, to Revelation chapter 22, verse 21, is the beginning and the end of all history. Because the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible, the Word of God, is His story. The Bible, the Word of God, is history. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 3. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden center and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You close in prayer, David, please.
Father, we give you thanks once again for what was here, or yes, is here this morning.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for the challenge of the Word of God.
Yes, Lord.
We see in these things, Lord, there was a murmuring among the people. And if I, even today, in the assemblies throughout the land, there's murmuring among the people. And Father, we realize, Lord, that you've set men in places, Lord, that they want them to be. And as I've brought forth, Lord, as you've guided them, Lord, that, Lord, that when God picks men and puts men in places, Lord, it's there for a reason. And that, Father, we give you thanks and we praise you. We thank you, Father, for as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Mm-hmm. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yes.
But God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world might be saved through him. Mm-hmm. So, Father, we give you thanks and we praise you, Father, for the salvation that we have been given through your beloved Son, our Savior and Lord. We thank you, Father, for these readings in the precious Word of God. We thank you, Father, as the rod that budded, Lord, reminds us, Lord, of the resurrection of our Savior and Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, that he was the first fruits, Lord, from the dead, Lord. And we thank you, Father, we have a risen Savior sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding in our behalf. And what a privileged position that the saints are this morning, that, Lord, we can come before the throne of grace and enter in, Lord, and we have an advocate, Lord, at the right hand of the Father. We thank you, Father, for this word this morning. We thank you for helping Sam.
Amen.
We thank you, Father, that we have a good shepherd, and we thank you, Father, that is the bread of life, mm-hmm. and that, Lord, that bread of life is the Word of God, and we thank you, Father, for the feeding that we feed on him. And we have been feeding this morning on Christ our Saviour and Lord. We thank you, Father, for the precious word that was brought forth. Again, we say amen to what our brother has brought forth. And pray that, Lord, that we not only be hearers of the word, but, Lord, we pray that we be doers of it in the days that we lie ahead. So, Father, as we leave this place, Lord, to ask you to take us to our home in safety. Let nothing befall us by the way. And when we return again, Lord, we return to hear the wonderful gospel of our Savior and Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, David.